Welcome to Not So Different, a podcast from the Center for Biosimilars. I'm your host, Senior Editor Kelly Davio. Industry group, the Biosimilars Forum, recently put forth three policy proposals that it says could save the U.S. healthcare system billions. The group commissioned a scoring analysis from Avalere Health, which found that these options could cut out-of-pocket costs and federal spending by $1.9 billion to $5.2 billion by 2029. This week on the podcast, we've invited the forum to tell us more about their proposals and other policy issues related to biosimilars. Joining us this week are Juliana Reed and Molly Burrich. Reed is the Vice President of Corporate Affairs, Global Biosimilars Lead at Pfizer, and is also the President of the Biosimilars Forum. Burrich is Director of Public Policy, Biosimilars and Reimbursement at Boehringer Ingelheim, and an officer in the forum. Reed is the first interviewee whom you'll hear speaking. Juliana and Molly, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Not So Different.
Happy to be here.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks.
So the forum recently said that there are three proposals that, taken together, could save the U.S. healthcare system, including seniors, billions of dollars over the next 10 years. Let's take a look at each of those proposals, starting with reducing out-of-pocket costs for seniors.
So I think, you know, thank you. We are definitely the Biosimilars Forum is supporting three proposals, but actually there's lots of different ways and potential policies that could help support the uptake of biosimilars. And so I think that's really important. But today we could talk about the three. But, you know, just to also go back, Kelly, why now? Because we've had this question, and just to remind everyone that we are at, you know, we're at a very critical juncture here in the biosimilars marketplace. We've got 19 approved. Only 7 of those 19 are accessible to patients today and on the marketplace. And the forum members, as we look at Molly's company and our other, you know, Pfizer, Merck, Novartis, Sandoz, we've got represent the largest pipeline of biosimilars in development. And our members are looking at close to a dozen biosimilars coming to the U.S. market over the next year and a half to 2 years. So it's very critical now that the market is forming, and we know that the market is not as successful to achieve the cost savings as we all had expected. The forum has gone back and said, what needs to change? And that's where the forum has come up with the three policies we're going to talk about today, but also a number of other initiatives as the market forms that should be advanced as well. The first one, $0 copay, is what we're calling it. And what this is to the policy actually saves money both for senior citizens, Medicare patients. It would save Medicare patients close to over $3 billion over 10 years if Medicare was to have a $0 copay for a senior citizen, a Medicare patient, who chose to use the biosimilars. So it's incredible, by using a lower cost biosimilar and giving Medicare patients $0 copays, you would put over $3 billion back in their pockets. The other part of that, though, it's not just saving the Medicare patients. Our reports with Avalere show that if you were to increase the uptake of the lower cost biosimilars, you're also going to save taxpayers money. And over 10 years, the savings to taxpayers just on this one policy alone is over $5 billion. So one policy, increasing the uptake of lower cost biosimilars, putting money back in the pockets of Medicare patients, you save Medicare patients $3 billion and you save taxpayers $5. It's a great incentive, and overall, all of our recommendations are the market needs to be incentivized to use lower cost products. And so that's one of our first ideas. Molly, do you want to talk about the shared savings policy, looking at the docs?
Yeah, absolutely. So Kelly, one of the things, as Julie mentioned, that we feel is so important, not just because now is the time to really get this market, a robust and sustainable market, moving. But one of the things that we think is so critical to do that is to have incentives across all the stakeholders. So as Julie just highlighted, the $0 copay, we think, represents an important incentive for patients to lower their cost. We're hopeful that it will also be meaningful to the system and taxpayers, as Julie also highlighted. But then we also wanted to think through potential policy options that will create incentives for physicians who are using biosimilars. And one such way is what we're calling the shared savings model. And this is an idea that CMS could create a model, whether it's through CMMI, their CMMI authority, where essentially what they would do is create a model where physicians who are utilizing lower cost biosimilars will be able to obtain a portion of those savings. So the difference between the originator product and the biosimilar, whatever that difference is, physicians could, when they use that lower cost product, obtain a portion of those savings for the first few years that they're using a product. And that will create an incentive for them to prescribe that lower cost product. We believe that this, in coupled with a $0 copay, where the physician is hearing and knowing and seeing that their patient is also benefiting from a $0 cost share, we think that that combination will be really powerful to create incentives to really utilize biosimilars. And we envision that this is not a foreign concept to CMS. They have shared savings models across a few CMMI programs, but we do feel like this will be a really important way to get physicians engaged in using those lower cost products and generating that savings to the system. But also, because more physicians will be using the lower cost products, it will generate savings across the system overall. And the 10-year budget estimate is somewhere around a maximum of $3 billion over 10 years. So that's these policies combined start to generate significant savings to the Medicare program.
Yeah, they really do. And I think, Kelly, that's what's really important here in talking about, the promise of biosimilars. We all know the RAND study showed that biosimilars would save at least $54 billion over 10 years. And looking back as we develop and manufacture biosimilars for we're all doing it worldwide and not just in the U.S., but as we're looking at the U.S. market actually coming to fruition, we went back and looked and said, wait a minute, biosimilars are disadvantaged in the U.S. marketplace. They are not on a level playing field with innovator drugs. And the shared savings program plus the recommendation to incentivize physicians to use lower cost biosimilars to do an ASP plus 8% add-on or an ASP plus add-on reimbursement actually creates savings as well. Again, physicians are not incentivized to prescribe lower cost products, and they're business people. And by looking at adding on a reimbursement to the biosimilars payment, an add-on, you will incentivize physicians to use lower cost products. And I think, Molly, is that $8 billion in savings?
It is. On sort of the uptake and that sort of thing, Avalere estimates somewhere between $1.6 and $8.2 billion over that 10-year window.
And our estimates, I think it's important for folks to understand too, is our estimates are very conservative. The company, as we looked at this with Avalere, these are not driving market shares to 90% like today's generic drugs in the small molecule world. These are driving, I think, market shares of lower cost biosimilars not only to the 15% to 30%. They're very conservative.
Correct. Yeah, okay. Correct. I mean, we would like to certainly see a market where we're seeing high utilization rates, but we also recognize that it took you know, the generic market to have incentives across all stakeholders in place to get there, and that's what we want to stimulate now to get biosimilars moving.
So, are there any items of legislation before Congress right now, or any rulemakings perhaps that are in the works that address some of these suggestions in your proposals?
Good question. And clearly, I know, you know, from a forum perspective, we are out at, you know, talking with stakeholders and educating folks about the cost savings that could be achieved, and about the, you know, the dynamics that are happening in the biosimilar marketplace, that more needs to be done to create a level playing field for biosimilars. So yeah, we're hopeful that something comes through on legislation, because again, as we're looking at, you know, as Congress is looking and as the president and the administration is looking at ways to lower drug costs in this country, biosimilars are a clear solution to that. And so as the industry, we're out educating on that and hope to see it. All of our policies, I think our policies can be done legislatively, but some of the ideas like shared savings could also be done by the administration. So those are things we're talking again to everyone about to gain support. And we hope to see something come through, either through regulation or through legislation as well.
Yeah, and the only thing I would add is that, you know, the included in the president's 2020 budget was language around, you know, ensuring policies that will help support a robust and competitive biosimilar market. So to Julie's point, we are talking to a variety of stakeholders, because we feel like these options that we just talked through, as well as a variety of other options that fall both into the regulatory and legislative space, can and should be pursued to really build that market.
What do you see happening if we do not enact some of these changes? Where would that leave the biosimilars market in the United States?
You know, we're at that critical juncture, and I think, you know, some of our members, including Pfizer, you know, are looking at whether or not we have a viable marketplace over the long term here in the U.S. So these things need to be done. Where does that leave us? We lose competition. And so I think that one of the key things in this country is, and we know, is the best way to drive down cost is to have robust competition. And in the biosimilar space, just like the generic space, by having the robust competition in the marketplace, you see the fastest way that prices and costs go down. So we need that. So if you don't have a viable market, and when, as a developer, we're spending 6 to 8 years, hundreds of millions of dollars to develop these products, developers start to look at the pipeline, the cost, the timeline to develop, and look at, you know, the next generation of biosimilars or the next wave of biosimilar development coming forward. So those decisions are being considered. Pfizer, I could talk from a Pfizer perspective. We annually evaluate where we spend our R&D dollars across the enterprise. Given the ongoing, you know, we will have eight biosimilars in the U.S. marketplace over the next, by the end of next year, by the end of next year, we'll have eight biosimilars in the U.S. marketplace. And it's very important for us, as we continue annually, to look at wave two, how the market is forming and whether or not it's being successful, because you have to have again, successful marketplaces in order to continue to want to put R&D money into something. One of the, you know, I don't know if you're aware, I think we've talked about it before, but the, you know, the ongoing anti-competitive behavior, not only needing the incentives in the marketplace, you know, from policyholders to incentivize the uptake of biosimilars, the ongoing anti-competitive behavior, creating the barriers to access by insurers and by other originator companies is quite worrisome to as well. We have the situation in the infliximab biosimilar market where combined between the Merck Renflexis biosimilar and the Pfizer infliximab biosimilar, we have a combined market share of only 6% over the last 2 years. So that is quite concerning. And it was through blocking access through insurers and rebates. This just happened. This playbook that was put in place by J&J just repeated itself with Amgen putting the playbook in place to stop competition for the pegfilgrastim biosimilar that Udenyca, that one of our members, Coherus, just launched. So across the board, we need the competition, we need the access, and it is quite worrisome that we need to balance the playing field by incentivizing the uptake of biosimilars. We need to do that, but we also need to prevent the anti-competitive barriers to access that are happening as well.
And Molly, would you like to add anything to that?
No, I think Julie summed it up perfectly. We are at a very critical juncture, and I would just like to reiterate, you know, we didn't get to the levels of generic utilization, which, as we know, has saved the system trillions of dollars without incentives. So that's why the time is now, and that is equally the risk of inaction, is that we won't see the type of competition and savings that we know all stakeholders want to see with biosimilars. They hold a significant amount of promise, but we do feel that the time is now and the policy changes do need to be made and implemented to get the full benefit of those savings.
And Juliana, earlier you mentioned that these are just three policy proposals that could have an impact on biosimilars. Are there some other policies that you would like to see brought into play in the biosimilars market?
Sure. And this is one of the key things. And I think, you know, as Molly and I have worked in this space, what, Molly, now for about 15 years?
Yes. We're aging ourselves.
I know, you're right. When we were teenagers, there's not one, and this is, you know, really Molly's area of specialty, but there's not one silver bullet to fix the marketplace and improve the marketplace for biosimilars. So you have to look at all the stakeholders, and it's the patients. It's the physicians, it's also hospitals, there's the star rating, the potential for, you know, something like star ratings for hospitals or plans to help drive the uptake of biosimilars. You have to look across all the stakeholders. And then also, Molly, Part D, we need to look in Part D when like BI launches its Humira biosimilar.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, Kelly, in the same way that we kind of talked about how we need to have incentives across all stakeholders in Part B, which is where the, you know, the physician and the $0 copay pieces are focused, we do want to use the time that we have now to create similar incentives in the Part D, as in dog landscape as well. And that includes incentives for plans. So as Julie just talked about, creating a star rating around biosimilar utilization and or, you know, tiering of slash formulary placement of biosimilars, that creates an incentive for plans to be setting up their formularies with biosimilars in mind. And in Medicare Advantage, that can encompass both the B and D products. And then, you know, within Part D, we're also looking at how do we set up differential cost share for biosimilars. You know, if they are all on, you know, if they're on the same tier or sets of tiers, specialty tiers with their reference or the originator, how do you set up a situation where the cost sharing is preferential? So, you know, instead of 25%, it's 10%. And how do we work that with CMS and with plans to make that a sustainable model? Because we do feel like the, just as we talked about on the Part B side, reducing cost share and making sure that beneficiaries have, you know, see a real true benefit to their bottom line is of course part of the biggest part of the value proposition of biosimilars. So we want to create incentives like that. We're also exploring things around how do you reduce the administrative burden on physicians and patients in Part D around utilization management? Is there a way, again, to work with CMS and to work with the Part D plans to figure out how that could look and how does that help improve the prospect of biosimilar? So we are looking across Parts B and D, and particularly working with, you know, a variety of stakeholders and getting their feedback and getting their take on our different policy ideas. And as Julie mentioned, it's not a silver bullet. There's not sort of one way to make sure biosimilars are being used, that we have a bifurcated system. And so that's why we have to take that stakeholder by stakeholder approach of developing the incentives that we think will be meaningful and truly drive biosimilar utilization.
Well, Juliana and Molly, thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing your insights into this area and for sharing your expertise.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Not So Different. If you'd like to read more about the Biosimilars Forum's policy proposals, visit our show notes. Remember, if you like the podcast, please take a moment to rate us at iTunes. Until next time, find us at centerforbiosimilars.com.